And I believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God. And how are you?
I'm good.
Wonderful.
So, Parshat HaShavua.
This week is Parshat Bahalotcha, which, Aaron is commanded to raise light in the lamps of the menorah.
Yeah.
And the tribe of Levi, the Levites, is initiated into the service in the sanctuary, and they were actually going to be the ones leading all the Jews in the desert, so on and so forth, with carrying all these things that is needed for the Beit HaMikdash. Interesting, we also talk about in this week's Torah portion about the second Passover, when the Jews complained, why should we be deprived when they were not pure, and a couple of other things that are discussed in the Torah. Interesting, you know, when it says, when you kindle the lamps, when Aaron was meant to be kindling the lamps, the Talmud, the Gemara says that when the oil was made for the use in the service in the Holy Temple, the olives were squeezed three times.
Yeah.
And the oil of each pressing was divided really into three quality levels. The first level of the first pressing was supreme. That was the ultimate. And was used for the kindling of the menorah. The second oil of the first pressing and the first oil of the second pressing were of equal grade, and so on and so forth, and could be used for the meal offerings, not for the lighting of the menorah. But only the first oil of the second pressing could be used for the menorah, and not the second oil of the first pressing. And the first oil of the third pressing and the that could be used for the menorah. So it's very, very interesting, because the question that everyone asks, obviously, is why should the first oil of the third pressing have priority for the kindling of the menorah of the second and the third oil of the first pressing? You know, we had the three different levels.
Yes.
The first pressing, all the ones of the first pressing should be eligible for the menorah. And the second pressing, third pressing, you understand, should go for the meal offering. But it's not in that way, in the order that, of how it's brought down. Is that the first of each one of the pressings takes precedence over the second one of the first, over the second of the second versus the third. So that's a famous question that everyone asks. And one of the common answers is that all people are not alike. Some have better faculties and some are poorer. And King Solomon says, a man's soul is a candle of God. And all the details connected with the menorah contain teachings, really, which apply to a man's person's life. And the teaching of the different levels of oil is that God does not expect one person to be like another person, but he does expect him to achieve his utmost. Therefore, if he is capable of being on the highest level, he may not be happy, may not suffice with being second. On the other hand, if he has the capabilities of only being of the second level, and he excels in that, his achievement equals that of one who is uppermost in the first level. And it's interesting, because there was a very famous rabbi, the famous pious Rabbi Zusha of Anapoli. He was from Anapoli, and you know, a lot of times in those days, they would call you Rabbi Galperin of
Windsor. Yeah.
And Rabbi Ilan of Israel. You know, they would name you based on the city that you were.
Yeah.
And he once said that when I come before the heavenly tribunal, I'm not afraid that they will demand of me, why wasn't Zusha like the patriarch Abraham? But I am afraid that they're going to ask me, why wasn't Zusha as Zusha could have been? Very, very strong, because if you think about it, like in the case of the oil from the olives, the fact that the second level maybe is a lot lower than the first squeezing, but God is not looking at you were this, you were that. God is looking at what are you? When I go up to heaven, he's going to ask me, what were you doing? Not why wasn't I like Elon? Why wasn't I like that person? And It's very interesting. You also see in the time of, for example, of an athlete, you know, running, you know, marathon, you think it's like, you know, someone that is, where can someone be motivated to run a marathon, you know, 50 kilometers, 60 kilometers, whatever it is, and he knows that he's going to come in last place? What gives him that? Why would he want to run? What's the joy of running, and when you come in last place? You know, interesting. If we continue looking in the Torah portion of this week, we talk about as well. And this really all ties in together. You know, it describes the encampment of the Jewish people in the desert and the way that they traveled. And when they would hear the signal sounded by the special silver trumpet, 12 tribes of Israel packed off the camp and they went. And the tribe of Dan, the Dananites, always marched last. And their job was to bring up the rear and gather up any objects left behind. You know, missing socks or maybe missing children. Yeah. They packed up for everyone else.
That's called in Hebrew, me'ases.
Exactly, correct. And it's not a very glorious role. And it's really not even as impressive as leading the tribes, yeah. You know, like Judah.
It's cleanup.
Exactly, or carrying the holy vessels like the Levites. But this job was needed to get done. And, you know, what I want to bring out is really interesting is the Hasidic teachings explain that, you know, really in maintaining the baggage claim department that they ran, there was also really something else that they did. They kept everyone in line, focused, and have that perspective. Because, you know, when they're in the front, you know, you can lose their sensitivity to others and awareness of their own flaws. And, you know, they think, oh, we're the great ones. We've got the self-esteem. They felt no need to get, behind and help everyone. They were in the head. And the Dananites really felt that this was their calling, that they were going to be doing exactly what God needed from them to do. They didn't look at what how egos was. He said, this is our job. This is what we're going to do. And really, that could really be our inspiration. Especially on the times, you know, days when we feel that, you know, we're in a slump and it seems that the world is passing me by. The days that no one returns my phone calls or reads my emails, you know, you feel like, who am I? I'm nothing. I'm so far behind, you know, no one really wants to talk to me. But maybe we could take this lesson that there's someone who needs a smile from me or is losing their balance and I can help them find it. Maybe someone out there needs a friend who will return their phone calls. There's a little child right here, you know, maybe who needs my full attention. So I'm chugging along into last place, but there's nothing as important as helping that person. Everything is important. I'm coming in last, but I'm in the race. And that's really something that we can really, really take to heart. That if God is not looking at what level of oil you are, God is looking at who are you. That's who you are supposed to be. That's what I want to expect from you. And if it's my job to be able to be the one cleaning up and taking the baggage and helping someone else that they don't feel left behind or left out or in the community, that they feel part of what's going on in the community, it might not be the most prestigious job, but that's my job. That's my obligation. And that's what I need to do. And God, when we go up to heaven, He's not going to ask us, why were you not like Mr. So-and-so? He was going to ask you, why were you not like Rabbi Galper? Why did you not do what you were supposed to do? And that's something that I think that each one of us can take into our daily life. And we all have those challenges. Every day we meet people. Every day we're in different situations. Let's make the best out of it.
Do what you have to do as long as your candle is burning.
Absolutely. That's the ultimate thing that we all are obligated to do.
Yeah. And I want to ask you about services this week.
Services Friday evening, or a little bit later. We have now at 7:30, and Shabbat morning is 9:30, and Sunday is 8:15, followed by breakfast. It's all held in the Shahar HaShemayim, and Monday and Thursday is a community minyan in the Paris House in the JCC at 7:15 in the morning. What a great way to start your day.
It is. I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, you too, and should have a healthy, peaceful week, and I look forward to talking next week.
Same here.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.